Now that we're in here, so many stories to be told. Oh. It's so clear, the more we hear, life unfolds. Yeah. No matter where you are, near or from afar, now is the time to go for what we know.
It's just
now
us
that we're in here, show. So many stories to be told. It's oh. So clear, the more we hear.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Charlene. Welcome to the It's Just Us radio show. I'm so glad that you're joining us. It is the month of June, and June has historically been identified as Caribbean American Heritage Month, a time where we honor the contributions that are made by Caribbean Americans throughout the United States. And of course, we cannot not honor the contributions of Caribbeans, whether they are here or in the Caribbean region. So we wanted to pause this month also to recognize, to honor, and to celebrate these contributions. To do it justice, I felt that, and the team here felt that, hey, what better way to kick this month off than to have some of our Caribbean family to join us here and to take over the microphone and host several interviews, conversations, information that is happening this month, again, during this month of June. So I am turning over the microphone to Mr. Kirk Brown, who is on location for It's Just Us in Barbados, as well as Mr. Aubrey Padmore. They're going to tag team. They're going to work it out however it needs to happen, whatever they need to do to get us this information so that we can, again, learn, so that we can appreciate, and so that we can celebrate all that Caribbean American Heritage Month has to offer us. So this is Charlene. I am going to close my mic now and turn over the rest of the broadcast to Aubrey and Kirk. Guys, take it away. I'll see you on the back end.
We're going to take a quick break right here and get into some Bajan music. Of course, we're going to play some Kirk Brown music. He was scheduled to host the show due to circumstances beyond his control. That will not be possible at the moment. We'll be right back with you. Hey, this is RB with the It's Just Us radio show, pilot show, coming out of Atlanta, Georgia. And this is in time for Caribbean American Heritage Month, which commenced today. And we are interviewing our first guest, the Consul General of Barbados to the U.S., New York City, Mackie Holder. And we're going to talk a little bit about the purpose and the mission of the Consul and some other things related to the, not just the Caribbean community in Barbados, in New York and in the U.S., but for Friends of Barbados. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Aubrey. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Tell us a little bit about the mission and purpose of the Barbados Consulate at New York and in the United States in general.
I break it down into two main areas. One, to service the needs of the Barbados community. That is through dealing with passports, everything from passports to deportations, helping people who might have fallen on some hard times, students who might be in need. And then the second one would be to work with Barbadian associations, individuals, and those who like Barbados, Friends of Barbados, as we call them, to boost the image of Barbados in the various states, and also to encourage investment and Barbados, either by Barbadians or investors from wherever. It's interesting. It has its pluses, like everything, you know. It's a challenge, but it's an interesting challenge.
Tripoli, good vibes, youths. Hey, don't waste your life. I mean, I should have been focused on my education. I was only getting high on my meditation. Partying every night, what was I celebrating? Dropped out of high school, mama was devastated. Guns and drugs, big bad and dope. Bullets up me up, now I'm all messed up. Can't get a job, no food for now. Sitting in a cell without the one that I love. Singing, why oh why? Nobody never tell me about the things in life. Nobody never tell me about the wrongs and rights. Why oh why oh why oh why oh why? Nobody never tell me just to trust in God. Why they try to make the get to you so hard? Why oh why oh why oh? Back in school the tree was the hot spot. Get a tattoo earring and a big gun for pop. In school to noon we lime nonstop. Our classroom was in town on the bar on the block. I wasted my life, but then it felt right. Right now it's not nice. Sitting in a cell looking back at my life. Why oh why? Nobody never tell me about the things in life. Nobody never tell me about the wrongs and rights. Why oh why oh why oh why oh why? Nobody never tell me that the internet, if used correct, you could check more than sex. Why oh why oh why oh? Life is more than a life. Utilize your time. Plan for the future. You stay on the grind. Free up your mind and pray to God. Keep your soul clear from hypocrites and frauds. Study in school. Don't be a fool. Don't waste your youth. You want to look for the truth. Remember the golden rule and do unto others as you will have them do unto you. Why oh why? Nobody never tell me about the things in life. Nobody never tell me about the wrongs and rights. Why oh why oh? Just to trust in God. Why they try to make them get to you so hard? Why you, oh, why you, oh, why you? Oh? To all the youths, dip on the corner. Treat your girl right or a man will on ya. Don't let your only high grade be marijuana. Get your money right, don't see me not want ya. I wasted my life, but then it felt right. Right now it's not nice. Sitting in a cell looking back at my life. Why you, oh, why? Nobody never tell me about the things in life. Nobody never tell me about the wrongs and rights. Why oh, why oh, why oh, why oh, why? Nobody never tell me how to save and plan. To left out the cars and buy house and land. Why oh, why oh, why oh, why oh, why? Nobody never tell me about the things in life. Nobody never tell me about the wrongs and rights. Why oh, why oh, why? Tell me just to trust in God. Why they try to make them get to you so hard? Why you, oh, why you, oh, why you? Oh?
And we are back inside this segment with the Consul General of Barbados. Let us continue.
Simply, anything that has to do with Barbados, either whether you're a group of Barbadians, a group of business people in New York, Connecticut, wherever, or you have any interest in Barbados at all, you know, feel free to contact the consulate. Let us know what you're proposing. And 90% of the time, as long as it is legit and it is about Barbados, we will find a way to partner. That might range from...
Can you tell us a little bit about the mission and the vision of the council?
Well, the mission I break down into two entities. One is that we are here to service the Barbadian community. And that ranges from the issuing of helping them with passports, those who want to return home, as we say, and it goes to anything, students who might be having some difficulty, persons who might find themselves afoul of the law, That is one aspect. And the second aspect is to work with Barbadian associations, individuals or friends of Barbados, whoever they may be, to boost the image of Barbados in the particular states for which we have jurisdiction, and to encourage investment into Barbados.
That sounds like a pretty big mission. I love it. Tell us how people can reach out to you in terms of what they want, how they can be served, that type of thing. I know a lot of people are not aware of what is really going on in terms of the mission and the vision. So let us tell them a little bit about how they can connect and conversate.
Well, anything that has to do with Barbados, whether you're an individual, a group, just someone who lives in America who wants some information or who wants to do a project, and that could be as simple as trying to get information on hotels in Barbados or possible investments in Barbados. Or it could be that you want to start a program in your district and you want to have some Barbadian product, or you want to have a cultural event and you want some support with that. Anything to do with Barbados, we are here to help with. 90% of the time, we will respond positively, as long, of course, it is all in the four corners of the law. But, you know, we will support in some way. It might range from a simple thing as just publicizing the event through our email database and the various platforms that we have, sharing it with associations so that they can also get behind it. Or it might be, you know, helping you with some Barbadian products. And it goes, it depends on what the event will be or what you're trying to achieve. But we are here to help. I always say that the consulate belongs to the people. It is not some esoteric thing, you know, for staff just to go in. It belongs to the people. Feel free to come to 2nd Avenue, 820 2nd Avenue in Manhattan, and we'd be happy to see you. I have an open door policy. So, yeah, in pandemic times, you make appointments, but if you're passing by, feel free to drop in.
Let's talk a little bit about the pandemic and the implications for the council in terms of, tell us what's been happening in our community, given the fact that you're in New York City and that has been one of the central points for the COVID. How has that affected the not just the operations, but the people in terms of the Barbadian people, and are they reaching out, are they connecting, that kind of thing?
You know, the pandemic brought out a lot of unexpected goodness in the face of people dying and getting sick and so on. One of the pluses for us was that it brought Barbadian associations closer together. We held Zoom sessions every week to update, to keep persons abreast of what was happening in New York and other states. And also, as you would imagine, there was great interest in what was happening in back home in Barbados. But those sessions help persons in various associations to actually see one another for the first time, speak to one another for the first time. And it has led to, for instance, the association in Connecticut, Friends of Barbados in Connecticut, you know, working with other associations in New York, and that sort of interplay. And that is what we need. We need, you know, an integrated Barbados grouping, and so that we can support one another and rally behind the causes that are important to Barbados. Because beyond what I just I would have said earlier, there are issues at a national level that are confronting Barbados, and we have to look at how we deal with those in current times. And the more people we have advocating for Barbados on something like climate change, are, vaccines and that sort of thing, the better for Barbados.
I like that whole notion of people coming together in terms of the Barbados community and organizations to really support each other. It reminds me of what the Prime Minister said about good thinking Bajans. Need some good thinking Bajans to become national, international citizens. And it sounds like that's what's happening.
We're trying in just this jurisdiction to, unite as far as possible. And we're not quite there yet, but it's working. And they have made a new attempt at an umbrella body. So we're working together to make that a reality. And that is, as I said, that is one of the very good things that came out of the COVID situation, which would not have been nice by any means. We've lost quite a number of Barbadians, and we continue, to reach out to their families in prayers and other support. The issue now, actually, is that a number of families are now having services and in some cases burials for persons who would have died last year from COVID or from other reasons. So, it's still a sad time, even though we are at this stage now, certainly in New York and the Tri-State, we're moving out of the COVID situation that was quite depressing for more than 12 months.
Wow, yes. I did have an opportunity to see some of those folks and on the Zoom calls, and I was very impressed to know that many of the Barbadians here are doing some wonderful things. I've known it for a while, and it was really good to see that you took the opportunity to showcase more of what Barbadians are doing and what their contribution has been, not just to New York, but to the country indeed.
And I think that is the sort of thing we have to continue to do. Wherever there's a Barbadian, the more we can elevate and promote that Barbadian, or wherever there's something about Barbados, in the end, that helps the country, that helps the image we're trying to set among the communities in the USA. And it can only redound to the goodness of Barbados.
Yes, indeed.
I should also say that Barbadian associations and individuals in the midst of COVID stepped up in a big way to support their country. And I'm eternally grateful to the associations and individuals who, without being able to raise any funds, stepped up to help Barbados with PPE support. The Prime Minister's Adopt a Family charity, and continue to help their various schools and other entities that they have supported throughout the years. That has been wonderful, to say the least.
Tell us more about this Adopt the Family. It sounds like it truly is just us. It's just us, really.
the Adopt the Family charity was started by the Prime Minister to specifically assist a number of families who were below the poverty line. And the funds went to give families some monies and care packages and that sort of thing. And that has been put on pause now. But during last year, it received tremendous support from Barbadians overseas.
Wow, that is wonderful stuff. Can you tell our listeners how they can reach out to you, your contact information, that sort of thing?
The best way to reach me is by email. I respond to emails very, very quickly. mholder@foreign.gov.bb. mholder@foreign.gov.bb. And I should also give we are Second Avenue, as I said, 820 Second Avenue. And The number is 212-551-4325 or 4326. That number again, 212-551-4325 or 4326. And if you happen to be in Manhattan, you can just pop in. We are on the fifth floor, 822nd Avenue.
Yeah. As soon as I get up there when COVID is a little bit better, I'll pop in.
Well, I'm looking forward to meeting you, sir. We built up a nice close relationship at distance.
Yes.
So, you know, I need to put the face to the voice, so to speak.
Yes, indeed. We're gonna have a lot of fun. Any final words for the diaspora? Anything that you want to tell them specifically during the month of June, as it relates to activities, services, anything special that you want them to know?
Well, it's still, you know, people are still, you know, very cautious, as they should be, even though New York and some of the surrounding states have basically reopened. Due to the uncertainty of the COVID situation, we haven't laid out any massive plans.
Okay.
But we will have a production at some point. I let folks know before the end of this month. And I'm working with colleagues from other Caribbean countries to probably have a flag raising and some cultural session at Borough Hall in Brooklyn. That is being put together. A number of our countries, including Barbados, we were unable to do our independence flag raising ceremonies or have any activities around independence last year. So we are thinking that we could possibly have a splash during Caribbean Heritage Month. But there are other things there. We will highlight some of our Caribbean people. In New York, even though New York itself has opened, a number of spaces are not yet open. So that is the challenge. But something will be done. Zoom has been a tremendous help, and we can use that platform as well.
Yeah. You know, a point of note, now that you're talking about that, you also represent as the chairman of the Caribbean Council Core. Would you like to say a few words about that?
Yeah, that is a grouping of council generals from countries that make up CARICOM. So goes from Haiti down to Guyana. We meet fairly often. Last year we met pretty much every week as well, to give updates and, you know, share information between countries and assist one another with, you know, looking after persons in the community. This year, we're hoping to sort of transition slightly, and this is in keeping with what needs to happen on behalf of the Caribbean. We intend to make some stronger connections with state and national political representatives, because we believe that those connections will only help our communities better, but also help Barbados and, of course, other countries in the Caribbean. If we can, for instance, get the ear of a U.S. senator in terms of things that affect the Caribbean, like climate change, which, you know, is a huge threat to the Caribbean, and, you know, we can get some traction in somebody's ear who can speak about the issues in the Caribbean, that helps the region. So from the Caribbean Council Corps, that is what our intention is going forward. Of course, along with dealing collectively with some of the issues that face our collective Caribbean people. The other thing is that we've just gone past Africa Day, which was last week. and I was invited to present for the second year. And one of the things that I'm pushing is that we have to find a way to bring together those in the African diaspora as well as the Caribbean diaspora. Certainly Barbados is now reaching out in a big way to formalize relationships with countries in Africa. In 2019, there were visits to Kenya and Ghana, and their presidents visited Barbados, among other Caribbean countries. We have named envoys to those countries. But I feel, certainly in New York, that there is a need for a conversation to be had between Caribbean nationals and African nationals. After all, we have history and share the same threats and have the same basic ambitions. And there has to be a way that they understand that they need to leverage their numbers for change. So that is something that I'm working on as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us right here on the It's Just Us show. Certainly we're going to have to bring you back because It's Just Us is also producing a show in Ghana and some other things that we're doing collectively, like you said. So we need to come back and have that conversation and create that synergy that you mentioned earlier. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me. And this is a great initiative, and I wish you well with it. And I look forward to speaking again with you shortly.
Indeed. Thank you so much. Okay. Bye-bye. We are going to take a musical break and come back with our next guest. And I'll tell you a little bit about him before I do the interview. Yeah, this is exciting stuff. Inside Caribbean American Heritage Month special. Right here on the It's Just Us radio show. I can't sing. I'm just having an emotional moment. His name is Dakari Ellis. And he recently turned 12 years old in April. And he goes to school at St. Michael's School in Barbados. He enjoys gaming, playing basketball, football. Well, of course, that's soccer. We call it football in Barbados. And he plays for a team called the Mavericks. He's a young entrepreneur, and he started his first business at 11. That is just a couple of weeks ago, actually. And so the name of the business is the Dakari Snack Attack. I love it. He sells, at a reasonable price now, chips, crackers, nuts, cookies, gummy bears, that kind of thing. And I'm excited that he chose this because it reminds me of me. I'm just being selfish here a little bit. Okay? Both of his parents inspired him because they are both entrepreneurs. And hopefully we'll speak with them during this month of June as a part of that segment to really talk about entrepreneurship in Barbados and Barbados local and global. Okay? And he wanted to do it too. Plus, he wanted to make his own money. I can't blame him for that. Can't fault him for that. That's some powerful thinking from a youngster, 11 years old. Another memory of me. Right? He is also authoring a book called But Then COVID Came. And he's co-authoring it with his mom. This is powerful stuff. This kid is powerful. This segment is going to be sweet inside of Caribbean American Heritage Month. Right? They wrote it together. The second quarantine lockdown in Barbados. And you're going to hear more about that during the interview. And he hopes to have it published this year. He currently lives in Barbados with his mom, dad, and five dogs. Man. China, Egypt, Kobe, Monster, and now Razor. Stay tuned.
Shake up the thing for me. Shake up the thing for me. Shake up the thing for me. Girl, you got the formula. The formula, formula. Girl, you got the formula.
the licks up. Take two pics for your Instagram. We a perfect shape and figure. No other girl to take your man. Them can't whine like you, like you. Them can't walk like you, like you. Them can't fuck like you. And you know it's true. Girl, you get the formula. The formula, formula. Girl, you got the formula. The formula, formula. I can see why you're popular. Jam on your filter. Wine and shake up the bam bam bam. Nobody could ever mistake you. Wine and shake up the bam bam bam. Them can't bend, bend, bend like you. Them can't mix and blend like you. Them can't like you. And you know it's true. Girl, you get the formula. The formula, formula. Girl, you got the formula. The formula, formula. I can see why you popular. You're popular, popular.
Hi, this is RB with It's Just Us Radio Show. My guest tonight is a young man from the island of Barbados, Dakari Ellis. He just turned 12 years old and he's doing something very special. He's a kidpreneur. Dakari has a little business, a kidpreneur business called Dakari's Snack Attack. He's a young man. He loves football. He has five dogs. He does some wonderful things. And he's also publishing a book alongside his mom. Welcome to It's Just Us Radio Show, Dakari.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well myself. It's good to have you on the show. Tell us a little bit about your Dakari Snack Attack program.
So, I sell snacks and stuff, sometimes drinks.
Yes. I'm looking at some of the things that we spoke about earlier. This is your first business. You started at 11. What is your inspiration for wanting to be a kidpreneur?
I decided to start a business because both my parents were entrepreneurs. So I wanted to do it too.
Oh, wow.
So to carry on what they have going on.
So they're your inspiration. That's wonderful. Somebody's talking in the back?
Mm-hmm.
Who? Can you hear me?
No one's talking here. I'm sorry.
Okay, I heard something, like somebody was talking. Okay. So for our listening audience, Dakari is a young entrepreneur. Dakari, you like sports.
Yes, please.
Tell us a little bit about the football.
Okay, so I play football for the team Mavericks.
Yes.
we had a game, I think it was a few months ago.
Yes.
And we won.
You won?
Mm-hmm.
What position in football do you play?
Midfield or defense.
Okay. In terms of American football and soccer, are we talking about soccer as in football?
Yes, Bruce.
Okay. Okay, what inspired you to want to be a football player, soccer player?
I just really like the sport.
Okay.
I like how you have to use your feet to move around the ball.
Man. How many games have you played?
Since I've been with Mavericks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like 3, I think.
How
three or four.
How has the experience been so far in terms of your teammates and you?
It's been good. We won 3 out of 4.
3 out of 4 is serious stuff. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're a champion team. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your book. What was the inspiration? But then COVID came. With your mom, what was your inspiration for that?
When COVID came, a lot of things shut down.
Yeah.
And there wasn't really anything to do, so me and my mother decided to write out our feelings in a book.
What were some of your feelings?
Like how we couldn't have fun. How we couldn't have fun. Yes. Because of the change and how we couldn't go anywhere. We had to stay in the house all day.
How did that make you feel?
Dehydrated because of, I couldn't get fresh air.
Wow. And then I know in Barbados, when COVID came, a lot of things happened, but something else happened. The volcano erupted a couple of days or just about when they were going to release the whole idea of distancing. How did the volcanic eruption bother you? How do you feel about that?
I couldn't have a birthday party because the ash fell a day before my birthday. And also when we were about to get released from quarantine, we had to re-quarantine because of the ash, and it can mess up your sinuses or whatever you have.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you go to St. Michael's School. You just finished the 11 plus exam. This is your first semester. In secondary school, how is that going?
It's going good. We had a test today, and I feel confident about it.
Wow, I think that's important. The confidence. You also like dogs. You have 5 dogs or 4 or 5 dogs: China, Egypt, Kobe, and Monster. They're gonna make history right here because we just told people. And including Razor. Why do you have 5 dogs?
Because my dad likes dogs. He grew up with dogs, so I guess that's just a part of his life.
So now you share the same hobby of owning dogs and loving upon dogs and doing stuff like that.
Yes, please.
Who named the dogs?
Me and my father.
I know your father's a barber, and I understand that you're learning how to also do barbering. How's that going?
It's going good. I've cut a few people's head.
Yeah. Maybe we're going to have to get some pictures of your haircut so that the rest of the world can know that when they land in Barbados and they're bringing their kids, they can stop by and have you cut their hair. That'll be kind of fun. Land here, have your hair cut, take off. Yeah. So anything that you want to let our viewers, our listeners know about how we can support you and your business, the Carrie Snack Attack?
You can find me on Instagram. Or, yeah, you can find me on Instagram at shadow_spades, SHADOW _SPALLDZZ.
Okay. Anyone listening to this show that would want to help you support your business, would you accept help from those people around the world who would want to help you support your business?
Yes, please.
Okay. So is there an email that they can send to your mom, or to you, more importantly, your mom, to talk about doing that?
Yes, please. The email is TishanaEllis@yahoo.com.
All right.
TishanaEllis@yahoo.com.
Okay, wonderful. Any final thoughts for our listeners listening to the show?
I hope you have a good day.
Okay.
And stay blessed.
Thank you for joining us, Dakari.
You're welcome. No problem.
Bye-bye. Hi, this is Aubrey, and we have another guest coming right up inside of Caribbean Heritage Month right here tonight. Her name is Ashley Innes. I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. She's an African, a Caribbean artist, and I told you her name is Ashley Innes. I'll tell you more about what that means for me personally later. And she's gifted in all things creative as a painter, sculptor, musician, and poet. She holds a degree, and I caught up with her on the road, so any beeping or noise you hear on her side, that's because she's on the move, okay? She holds a BFA in visual and performing arts with a concentration in studio art from Savannah State University, as well as a Master of Science and Innovation and Entrepreneurship from Full Sail University. She has the key word in her bio, entrepreneurship. She is currently pursuing an MFA in sculpture from the Academy of Art University. And upon matriculation, she plans to answer the call of God and open Safe Harbor Gallery and live and work as a missionary throughout the Caribbean and Southeast Asia. Primarily. All this being said, she has achieved all these things through the grace of love of God, and she is legally blind and only able to see in one eye. This and all things she attributes as the work and power of God. In her spare time, Ashley enjoys the great outdoors, long walks on the beach, and making music. She has a special quote. As an artist, my goal is to create value in the unseen. God is the creator. And I've seen some of our artists beautiful, and at some point we're going to do a nice collage for you on Care Voice Radio. This is the It's Just Us show. We're going to take a quick break and come right back with you. Hey, Ashley, welcome to the show.
Thank you. So glad to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah. How are you doing?
All is well. It's a beautiful day here in Savannah. It's maybe about 75, 80. We're almost to the beach, but not quite there. But we're doing a little business.
So okay.
It's always a good day.
Yeah. I know you're on your way out, and I can hear the teeming of movement and the slamming of doors and so on. I don't think it's going to affect our broadcast. But I'm going to run through this really quickly with you, and I know that our listeners are going to enjoy this. You are originally from the island of Barbados, and we met recently, and it turns out that we may be family, and I've linked you with the rest of the Innes clan, all, 90 of them? So tell us a little bit about what opportunities in your life, and I'm looking at this as you're seeking to elevate and elevate others. What made this your calling? What series of events made this? How did you know when?
I'll be very specific with you concerning how I knew this was my calling and what I was supposed to do. I kind of So let me give you, I went to Savannah State University. I was doing music for a semester. I failed every class, so that definitely wasn't the way to go. I knew it was something creative, something in the arts, but there were two particular occasions. One occasion I was at my house and God literally kind of stopped me and I had to draw a picture and it's entitled The Fruit of the Womb. And I drew that picture out and it's kind of stayed with me ever since. I have it in my sketchbook. So that was the first occurrence of, okay, I might be called to the discipline of art. So from that picture, from her womb came forth fabric. So that's the fruit of the womb. So that was the first occurrence. Okay, I might be called to the discipline of art. So the second occasion, which kind of solidified everything, was I was at my church here in Savannah, End Time Commission Church. We actually grew out of a campus ministry at Savannah State University called Commission to Love Campus Ministry. So I was at our church and I saw two visions. One vision was of a picture that has yet to be painted. It's called A River Runs Through It. It was just beautiful blue water trickling over the face of the ground. And the other picture was of an image of a veil that was trailing through what seemed to be a temple. If you can kind of get a visual of a bride walking down the aisle and the train of her veil kind of filling the aisle. So those are the two images that I saw. And when I saw that, I knew that I was supposed to be an artist. So those are two very particular occasions, but that's how I knew I was supposed to be an artist. And ever since then, I've kind of, you know, been at it ever since.
I'm getting very excited about you in terms of listening. You play the piano also. Tell us a little bit about your music and what that means in terms of your vision for your future as you see it.
Okay, well, just to give you a little background as a musician and as somebody who is visually impaired and unable to see out of one eye, music is so critical. It forms the picture. So when you begin to play the keys of the piano, you begin to hear the sounds and the melodies, a picture comes into your mind. The instruments begin to compose the image for you. So music and art are one and the same for my artistic expression. So anytime something powerful is going to proceed from my vessel as God has, you know, called me to, there's always a certain sound or melody or inspiration of music that precedes what's going to come forth.
Wow, that's amazing. This is powerful stuff. I'm hoping that you do a concert or something soon. Awesome. So the expressions of art, in your inner mind, in your innermost mind, how do you conceptualize your art to frame the visions that we see in terms of your pictures?
Okay, so the concept is usually inspired by a scripture or an occurrence or something that I see, as I said earlier. I know that God is the creator. You know, we wake up every morning, it's like, okay, I see the sky. I didn't paint it. You know, somebody else did. And that's, you know, that's God. So in terms of the construction or the design of the images or the visions that I paint, it's kind of like something is coming into view and composed through the process primarily. I'm not one that goes to the canvas with an idea. I might have an idea of what I want to create, but it changes throughout the process. And that's so key. As somebody who is a believer, and just to kind of give you also some background, somebody can even ask me to paint something for them, but if I don't see an image or it's not inspired by an understanding of what God has designed for them, then I can't paint it, and it won't be, it cannot come until I see it and understand it according to what God wants to impart, because every image that I create is an impartation to the person who will ultimately receive it.
So your art and your drawing are purely impressionable in terms of you have to be able to feel the essence of the individual and their need to have it visualized in your inner mind?
Definitely. It has to be some sort of connection, some sort of understanding, you know, partnership, something. Like, there has to be a relationship established, even if it's just through a conversation, a phone call, like something. There has to be a connecting point. There has to be a bridge that brings me into their space and, you know, into the understanding of what's going on. It just can't just simply appear, because that's not how creation works. It is inspired by a word or something else. It just doesn't come into view before it's first conceived in the mind, as you're making reference to.
So how does this translate into you traveling and becoming a missionary? And why have you chosen to be a missionary in the areas that you have, Asia and the Caribbean and Southeast Asia? Tell me more about that.
Okay, well, honestly, the missionary kind of concept has always been in my heart, in my mind, ever since I was a little girl. It's just kind of, you know, you want to be an artist, you want to be a musician, you want to be a missionary. That's always been in my heart. And specifically, like, I remember as a little girl just seeing the different promos and ads on TV of, you know, the people in Southeast Asia, and that's always kind of just been in my heart. And just recently with just kind of opening up, I'm just going to be honest, with my, I'm also, I have other avenues and other businesses with my Mary Kay business. I've also just kind of recently received the call to go into the Caribbean and kind of, you know, spread the message of the gospel through those avenues of business. So the Southeast Asia and the missionary call was always there, but specifically the Caribbean has been kind of a new insert, which I'm really excited about because I actually don't have a full understanding of my cultural heritage and my cultural background.
Wow. This is very inspiring. I'll be frank with you. It visually, it excites me because I see you doing so much good, and the timing I feel is really now. And, mm-hmm. and I hope that everyone that's listening to this show will have an opportunity to either meet you or really support you however they can. Tell me more about Safe Harbor Gallery. Well, from what I'm reading in your bio and what I read earlier to our audience, this seems like an experiential journey for you, the Safe Harbor process, in terms of you being in school, and this is going to be developed primarily out of your current experience in school and going out of school to serve community. Tell me more about Safe Harbor Gallery.
Okay, so just, you know, everything for me has a scriptural foundation, is rooted in scripture. So the basis for Safe Harbor Gallery comes from Matthew 6:19. Pretty much where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. So that's the foundation. The harbor is the heart of God for me, the harbor. But the vision of Safe Harbor Gallery is actually to be on a boat. It's always been that. From the time it kind of came into my mind, into my understanding. So we're going to be traveling from different port cities around, really around the world, but wherever God kind of places me first. But Safe Harbor Gallery is going to be like a traveling art gallery that kind of goes from different port cities to port cities to spread whatever that exhibition or whatever that message is. So that's kind of the, in a nutshell, the essence of Safe Harbor Gallery, traveling, you know, feeding the people, whether in word or in image. Everything is a visual impartation. So all these things kind of coming into fruition with Safe Harbor Gallery.
Painter, sculptor, musician, poet. Do you want to recite one of your poems, or do you want to do that another time?
You know what? I'm going to just speak something. Let's see if I can find something. Well, you know what? I'm going to speak from my mind today. So,
sweet.
A poem. Okay. I have one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was made flesh to resurrect in life anew, but he died for me and you. Yes, he is the way, the truth, the life, the light. He gave me the witness of a transformed life, the witness of a transformed mind. I'm grabbing hold of eternal life, but let patience have its perfect work, that I might know my worth, a priceless jewel, a treasure, that I might dwell forever in his presence, giving you reverence, honor, and praise. Ancient of days, teach me to know your word and love your ways. Yes, Lord, teach me, teach me, teach me, pre-reach me. I want to testify, so nullify and crucify my flesh, Lord. Don't let it get the best of me, because yes, yes, I confess to be a sinner. I've fallen short of the glory of God. But if I was to die today and take my last breath, oh God, where would I be?
Ow! I know that went above the spectrum of the flow, but I had to do that because You just started rhyming and really pushing this. So it's such a natural gifting. I love it. And I can see why you want to go back to the Caribbean, because that's how we met up, and you were saying, well, you know, Barbados, who do you know that's in Innes? How can I get to know them? And I was like, well, let me make a call.
Right.
And I knew that it was interesting that you would show up and show out after I began talking to you. And I'm saying, well, we have a group of many, many innocents that I'm a part of. And I said, well, let me just reach out and tell them that you are in Savannah and ask permission to see if you can join the group and do some discovery. And now you're in that group. So this is going to be fun. Hey, guys, are you listening? You know what I'm saying? This is the first show, the first installment inside of Caribbean American Heritage Month in the United States. And we have been contributing graciously, volunteering, and supporting and building free enterprise systems across the United States. And America poured into us historically too. So now we have an opportunity to get into, well, let me use your terminology, safe harbor, you know?
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking the time. I hope I have not interrupted your journey to the beach too much. And I look forward to talking to you some more and having you back on our show throughout this month as we begin and continue to celebrate Barbados and Caribbean Heritage Month.
Definitely. It's a pleasure to be here. And I'm excited to learn more about my heritage personally, because I don't know too much, but I know it's a great heritage, a great legacy. You come from a great stock of people. So I'm just personally excited to learn more about who we are as a people.
And we have the one of the guests tonight on this show is hailing from Barbados to the Consul General of Barbados to New York and to the U.S. And so, you know, it's going to be fantastic what we're doing as we go forward. Any final words for our audience?
The harbor is the heart of God, and you guys just see yourself there as a people and just as individuals, like, just understand that love really is all we need. So.
Yes, anchor yourself in love. Thank you for joining us. I will see you on the other side. All right, It's Just Us Radio Show. And we have the formula for what Caribbean Heritage Month looks like, not just in the United States, but across the world. Thinking local, growing global. Thank you for listening. Come in your real lives inside Caribbean American Heritage Month. Keep us on the lock as we continue.
Shake up the thing for me. Shake up the thing for me. Shake up the thing for me. Girl, you got the formula. The formula, formula. Girl, you got the formula. The formula, formula. I see why you popular. You popular, popular. Girl, you got the formula. Girl, you got the formula. What's the way for me now?
It's Just Us Radio Show.
Thanks for tuning in to the It's Just Us Radio Show. For guest consideration, show ideas, or to contact any of our guests, please email us at itsjustusradio@gmail.com. Also, visit our website, itsjustusradio.com, to connect with us on social media. It's Just Us Radio is brought to you by It's Just Us Productions.
Thank you for listening. We'll be with you inside of Caribbean Heritage Month all month long in June. This is Aubrey. Goodbye.